the critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford, are you?
We are the TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And we're back for our final episode of our Traitors recap series. We're talking about the finale. We're talking about the reunion. And joining us today, there is no one better. We have Darren Karp with us.
Woo-hoo.
You know her, you love her. She's a regular on the show at this point. Darren, welcome back. Just before we dive in, we won't spoil things right away.
Yeah.
But overall, big picture thoughts on this season of The Traitors. Did you like it? Did you love it? Tell us about it.
Overall, big picture of The Traitors, it was between like and love. I loved the first season. Okay. Love the first season. Watch the UK version, watch the Australia version. I loved it less this season.
Really?
I have my theories for it.
Okay.
Because I liked it more this season, if I'm being honest.
But I will say, I think because, and I know we're all Challenge fans here, and like that season, I had just dedicated literally 22 fucking weeks to that one show, and it ended so terribly that I think The Traitors was like the counteracting point to that,
right?
Where I was like excited about the competition again because I was like so disappointed the way the Challenge ended.
Yeah.
So I think that might have also influenced my feelings because those were happening kind of simultaneously.
Right. Mm. It's funny, like looking at season one versus season two, I feel like, because I could see like the gameplay in season two maybe wasn't as good. Like,
Who cares about the gameplay? Who cares about the gameplay?
And I'm not even talking about the challenges, but just like the actual like playing the game of Traitors itself. Like there was a lot of foregone conclusions, I feel. Like a lot of Traitors identified early and just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I think that the personalities obviously were just miles better. The casting was miles better. Yeah.
It was very well cast. Very well cast. I mean, the only two people I really did not know was John, who was from Parliament. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And then Ek and Sue, because I don't watch Love Island UK every season. I watched Love Island USA, so I knew who Bergie was, but I didn't watch the UK version. But everyone else I knew very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was great. Which was great to see.
I think I knew mostly everybody. I didn't know John or Ek and Sue, or actually, no, I didn't know the Love Island people because I don't really do Love Island. But like, I feel like just from my like casual interactions with shows, I knew who everybody else was.
Yeah. You knew Peter. Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I miss Trishelle, honestly. Like, I loved Real World Vegas. That she's like, as her as a person, but like, I love Real World Vegas. And so when she came back, I was just like, it was such an iconic season. I've rewatched it since, I think I told you guys. So seeing her back now as like a full-blown adult, this is what like Challenge All-Stars does. It's like, it basically takes the parents of the challenge and throws them together.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And watching her in CT was nice. It was like a good reunion. We didn't get enough bananas.
We didn't get enough bananas in any way, shape, or form. Although I did hear, and this will come up again later, Darren, I don't know if you know this, I listen to Tamara's podcast, specifically just for the Traitor recap. I don't listen to all of them, just the Traitors ones. And she mentioned that both CT and Johnny are going to film season 40. So a little bit of season 40 challenge casting.
At season 40 is looking amazing. Somebody just DM'd this to me. And we are all like so excited about it because it's like a thread of reality TV lovers. And it's going to be amazing.
Wait, what's the intel that you're getting? What have you learned?
We've got Cara Maria. We've got Jordan is back. We've got
Laurel.
Oh, my God. Why am I not thinking of her name right now? John A.
You know, John A's sleeper hit. Sleeper hit. It's like Nerisse this last season. It's like you didn't expect.
Right.
Mark.
Mark.
Wow.
Mark's like 50.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not dead yet.
Is okay. Mark going
to
do this?
I'm not trying to be an ageist. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I take a hike at 35. I'm sore for 3 weeks. Imagine when I'm 50. It's going to be crazy.
Laurel's on here. Rachel. Yeah.
Wait, Brandi, did you happen to watch... And this is just a 1 minute side tangent because Dan was worthless and did not watch the reunion. Did you watch the reunion this last season? This season?
Brandy quit the season. Don't call me worthless.
I quit it after, I think after episode three.
Wow. You're even more worthless than Dan Brown.
Yeah. I was just like, wow. I couldn't do it. It was too, for me, it was too many new faces that I just wasn't connecting with. It's not even like, remember when like, because I was over it when like War of the Worlds started, I think it was, and they brought in all the Brits.
Because we don't care about those people. Why do I care about Emmanuel?
But then I got, but then we had like Bear and Georgia, and I was just like, oh shit. Okay. So the Brits know, they know reality TV. Okay. Like, right. Like, this is great.
Oh, Bear.
But, oh. But I wasn't feeling that from this new challenge cast. Yeah. Emmanuel, like, ugh.
Who gives a shit?
I was going to say that at the reunion, they did kind of hint at like there could be a Rivals 4.
That would
like,
be great.
It was like Cara Maria and Tori were like, Tori was like, she just wants me as a partner for next Rivals. And I was like, ooh, Cara Maria and Tori for Rivals. I'd that would love be a that.
Great
I would
team.
Love it.
Anyway, so that would be fun if like that's season 41. Anyway. Traitors.
Which, by the way, let's get this out of the way. In case you're here and haven't seen the finale of Traitors, we will be spoiling the finale of Traitors.
We're so ahead. Spoiling it.
So
I got it spoiled for me. So
that's right. So Darren was at the reunion, so we'll get into that later. Before we get to the finale, though, the first thing we should touch on is episode 10, The Weight of Deceit. The last we left off with our coverage was at the end of episode 9. It was the big cliffhanger. The vote is locked. 4 for Phaedra, 4 for Peter. We open up at the round table and MJ votes for Peter. Finally, Peter's gone.
God, that was episode 10.
That was episode 10.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot happened in these last two episodes.
A lot has happened then. Because I feel like, that happened mid-season. You know, I'm like, oh my God.
Shit. Yes.
Well, I mean, to be fair, you know, in these things, just like in the challenge, you know, it you have your, especially when you're going to put in all... Basically, reality stars outside Parliament, but let's just say for the sake of it's all reality stars. They're going to have their little like groups, you know, it's going to be the Bananas and the CTs and the Trishels trust each other, just like the Bravo girls trust each other, you know.
And,
so like
and Andy mentioned this, it was almost kind of like the closing thoughts of the reunion was like what we learned is that CBS writes for CBS and MTV writes together and Bravo writes together and kind of everybody else, the Kevins and Peters and Ekansus, like those leftovers kind of all were together in a way like.
Right. It's like they're on, it's different being on a love show or it's different being on where you have to play yourself than it is when you have to like drink pig's guts with hot sauce and run 12 miles.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just a different type of camaraderie. You know what I mean? I mean, I will say, I think a lot of people learned something about the Bravo Housewives, though, which was beneficial that they're smart and they're not actresses. And like, I was happy to see that because I do sometimes feel like the Housewives world is like in the if you're in reality and you buy into it, right, and you don't look down on it, which none of us do. I think people kind of secretly look down on Housewives sometimes. And I think they were really impressed. I really do. Like,
I think
the Housewives had a good showing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we'll get to it. But like CT's parting words for Phaedra when she leaves the game is like, you know, the best traitor we've seen yet. Right. So there's a lot of love there for the Housewives.
Totally.
What a scene.
I know. Scene. We'll get there. Before we do, Darren, your thoughts on Peter. Were you happy to see him go or were you like, actually, you liked his gameplay? What are your thoughts on the Peter of it all? Because he was very, obviously, one of the central figures of this season.
I mean, he played the best game. When I say he played the best game, I mean that he figured it out. I mean, I think he had the... Something that we lacked a little bit last season because Christian was so annoying who thought that like, hey guys, I was recruited into the Traitors. Like he thought that was a good move, you know, and I was like thrilled when he was gone.
Yeah.
I was happy that, you know, Peter was very good and he had alliances. I didn't think he played the social game overly well only because, you know, he kicked people out of certain groups. That's not good. You know, he would change his course. You know, he'd always be like, well, I don't know. Parvati actually is kind of cool. And you're like, wait, you just spent the entire last episode bashing her.
Right.
So that frustrated me. And I wanted to see him go. But the reason I wanted to see him go, and I've watched his season of The Bachelor. He's a really nice, smart guy. Was because I don't want them figuring it out.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to figure out the gameplay.
So you're team traitor. You want the traitor to win.
I want traitors to last as long as they can. I don't want there to be 10 faithfuls left. And then it's just a matter of like ganging up on certain faithfuls. That's not fun for me.
The game is set up though. So there's almost always going to be a traitor at the final fire of truth or whatever the fuck it's called.
But it almost didn't seem like that because once like, you know, once Peter had Parvati's name out there, right? And then Dan had thrown the Phaedra name out there. Okay. Right. And then people were already sussy of Kate. Like MJ walked in that breakfast being like, hey, Kate, what's wrong? What's going on with you? And Kate's like,
Kate was the worst traitor.
She was ever, so like, bad. So I was like, she's going to get found out. And then this is just going to be a game of faithfuls. That's what I thought it was going to be at towards episode 10, which I don't like. I want there to be like, I want there to be a Ceree. I do.
Sure. Yeah.
You know?
So speaking of traitors, so we have in the turret, Kate and Phaedra are still our two traitors remaining at this point. Kate lets Phaedra run with it because Phaedra obviously in the crosshairs. It comes down between John and Trishel. And at breakfast the next morning, we find out that John is murdered. And the reasoning is, it sounded like what they said was like, oh, he might be more influential at round tables, but really it sounded like they were just fucking sick of him talking at round tables.
They were so sick of him talking about it. And they talked about it at the reunion that it's like, if someone was like, who'd you vote for? And like, all I have to do is flip over the card that says Dan, it would be like 45 minutes of being like, you're terrible and you're this and you're the scourge of existence. And they're like, just flip over your fucking chalkboard, bro. Like, just flip it over. But he added something nice. I actually think like having someone in Parliament, someone no one was familiar with. He's short. He was spunky. I thought it
he had a run about him.
He had an asthma attack. Like, I just thought it was, he provided levity for me, I think, in a way that other people really couldn't because they were so engrossed in their own reality stars and being super manipulative. And politics is like differently manipulative. You know, I like that.
Yeah. And a couple fun comments about John after he's murdered. CT goes, that CT says he hopes he's as functional as John is at his age. I looked it up. John's 61. He's not fucking like in his late 70s or anything.
CT's like 45. That's the best part. They're like only 15 years apart, probably.
Yeah. But then MJ on an incredible heater in these later episodes, she goes, I don't think he's old. I think people in England just don't get Botox.
MJ, I'm like personally friends with MJ. She's actually, you know, and obviously like my girlfriend's Persian. So like it's a cultural thing too.
Yeah.
But she's just, she's that funny. Yeah. She is that funny. She's just like doesn't give a fuck in a way. The same way that Kate is, where you're just like, can kind of just say what's on your mind. But MJ was kind of a sleeper hit for me and very memeified this season in a way I didn't think she was going to be.
I loved MJ.
Yeah. Me too. I had no experience with MJ. I had never seen Shaws. I'm a huge MJ fan.
You should watch Shaws.
I will
now. Oh, you should watch Shaws.
It's one of my favorite shows on Bravo.
It's a really good, because it's real friends. Like, they're really friends, and you learn actually a lot about Persian culture. And like, because I'm friends with them, when I started dating my girlfriend now, like, I knew some of the fun terms, you know, and like, you do get engrossed in it. But Dan, you should watch Shaws. I think it's like 9 seasons, though. I think it's a lot.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll have to give me like a syllabus. Give me like a syllabus of like what to focus on.
The fight that, because like the fact that MJ came back from that fight.
They're friends. I think they're friends.
I know. Like, that's like.
Like, I've never heard someone say anything worse than what Reza said to MJ during that fight. Anyway, don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the mission, and we can move a little bit quickly through this episode so we can get to the finale and spend some time there. The mission I thought was fun. This was the dig in the dirt and find little gold nuggets. They're worth $150 each. Mm-hmm. And then you got to run across the floating platforms, put them on the scale. This felt the most challenge-esque of all. Since like the very first mission, I would say.
This felt like the thing that CT was going to dominate. I will say, I thought the Foley artists did such a good job when they'd fall off the like floating platform. They'd be like, boom, splunk. You know, I laughed out loud. I was like, that's fun.
And then Trishel and CT just
fucking dominated.
Yeah,
you know?
The challengers step up. Trishel and CT bank all of the money. And then our girl MJ finds the shield. And in the very final moment, makes it across and gets herself a shield.
I was very impressed. You know, she's a well-endowed woman. And let's be frank, like, I do think sometimes in challenges, and Brandy, back me up, like, because women are top heavy, well, some women, not me, but like other women are top heavy, it is a disadvantage. Like, when you're running, when you're slamming up against shit, like, it's like if men had their balls on their chest, they would be at a disadvantage too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so I always think that they need to like talk about that a little bit more. And MJ did like a really good job. I felt like she was the only woman not on the challenge to make it across. The only person, you know?
Yeah.
And like, of course, Trishel would make it across. She was like so skinny, like just
and she's 7 feet tall.
Like a gazelle.
Longest legs.
Longest legs. Trishelle's like, deep, 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 deep. Yeah. You can see T's like struggling and Trishelle's just like skipping and enjoying it. I thought Kate was going to make it across once.
She seemed like she might have.
She's used to water and she's used to like having balance, but alas.
Yeah. They end up winning, and this continues to infuriate me, the dollar amounts that are thrown around on this show. So $30,000 are up for grabs. They put enough on the scale to like lift the big weight, but somehow it's $28,350 is what they win, leaving their pot at, even worse, $158,100. Just round these numbers.
Just round it.
What are we doing? That drives me insane.
Or increase the money where at, like the lowest form of anything can be $500.
Right.
You know, like when they were shooting that like bow and arrow into the stained glass things that I asked the producers at the reunion, I was like, how long did that take? And they were like, so long. They were like, that took the whole day. We didn't realize that they were going to be so bad at it, which was hilarious. And neither did I. But but every time you shoot it, it was like, okay, yeah, $78 gone. I'm like,
fuck, I know.
Who cares?
So dumb. So then we're back at the castle. Some great, and I mentioned this on a previous pod, my favorite moments of the traitors are when they're around the castle, scheming, chatting, strategizing.
That's the best part of anything. In the challenge house, it's the best part when they're hooking up. And
of course.
Fighting. Yeah. That's the best part.
And we have some great around the castle moments here. Two in particular. There's two big scenes. One is Kate really actively starting to stump for Sandra's a traitor. And if we all know Phaedra's a traitor, maybe we hold her off and we go for somebody else first. Why can't that be Sandra? And then Sandra kind of sees this happening. Sandra's inside eating at like the breakfast table, looks outside the window and sees Kate very animatedly talking. And she's like, I don't like what's going on here.
I don't like the cut of her jib.
They're talking about something that I need to know what this is.
But this was so like Sandra, like Survivor Sandra. She's like, let me go walk out there and see if they stop talking. Because if they do, I know it's about me. And that's exactly what happened. She walked out and they all just clammed up, stopped talking. She asked Kate, who do you think is a traitor? She can't give her a name outside of Phaedra. So like Sandra knows what's up.
That was Kate's biggest mistake. If Kate had just said anybody, even if she just threw someone under the bus.
CT, say somebody, you know?
Somebody. And I understand that you're really worried about it because then Sandra could have gone to CT being like, Kate's throwing out your name. So I understand why you wouldn't, but just say anything. Like that was Dan's big like downfall is that he'd be like, oh, tomorrow I'll tell you a name. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
And also like, why couldn't she have just come out and been like, I don't know, Sandra, I think maybe you're a traitor.
Right.
Right.
Like play a more upfront game a little bit. Yeah.
And that would have been so Kate. And she probably would have, that might have like sealed more of a deal for Kate had she just thought on her feet a little bit quicker in that moment. That was like,
well, because I think CT was really good at that. Like when Peter was like, who do you think it is? He's like, I think it's you, buddy. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But like he was upfront and it got him obviously far in the game. The other moment I want to call out, and I think this is an incredibly iconic moment of the series, Phaedra and Sheree.
Yes.
Phaedra and Sheree's conversation.
I have it written down.
Yeah. And Sheree finally thinks to ask one of her closest people in the house, straight up, point blank, are you a traitor? She asked this, and first Phaedra's like, you said what? Like, okay, you know what she said, first of all.
It's a good stall tactic, though. That's a good stall tactic, you know?
But then, and I was looking for it ever since Kevin and Trishelle brought it up, she asks her again, are you a traitor? And Phaedra's fucking eye twitches before she answers and says, no, it twitched. I swear to God.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I wrote down, I was like, wait, does Sheree know how to play the game now?
Right.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm going to skip ahead just because we are talking about Sheree. But at the reunion, I saw Sheree and she was like, oh my God, hey. So we start talking. I was like, Sheree. I go, you were quiet the whole game. And I go, you're an Atlanta housewife. Like, that's not what Atlanta housewives do. Like they make an entrance. Like Sheree is known to have one of the biggest fights ever with Marlo. And like, just they're loud. Housewives in general are loud, but specifically Atlanta, like they're just, they make a splash. And that's why I like them. And Sheree was like, no, Darren, she's like, they didn't, this is what she claims now. She said they didn't show all of her confessionals talking about her gameplay, but she knew Phaedra was a traitor from jump because they've known each other for 30 years. You know, even I'd like to think, Dan, that I could tell if you were lying to me and I've known you for almost 15 years, you know, because we were pages together. Like, I'd like to think that like you could really tell. And they've known each other for a long time and been on a lot of shows. So she was like, I knew she was a traitor the whole time. I didn't want to tell anyone. I wanted to keep Phaedra around because she was going to take me to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she was going to take me to the end, pretend that I knew her. And then I was going to, you know, throw it in the fire and expose her and really use her. And I was like, that is actually a very smart gameplay. Whether or not we saw that, she said you could, either it was edited out or she didn't communicate it effectively.
Well, that's been a narrative of when anytime anyone goes on a podcast and talks about their experience and what was shown, and it's, and we know this, we all work in reality TV and production, a lot is on the cutting room floor, but this show felt like they really crafted a narrative by what they left on the cutting room floor. And I think Sheree, they really painted her as, like, for lack of a better word, like the know nothing, just kind of go along to get along person that kind of wasn't had not really in the game. And that could have been totally different from what actually happened.
I agree. But she said that that was not the case, that she knew literally from like week one. And when we see her point blank be like, Phaedra, are you a traitor? And to your point, Dan, she goes, I knew, solidified in that moment, because Phaedra could never give me a straight answer that she was a traitor.
Right. And that brings us to the round table. And I got to say, the most foregone conclusion of any round table that we've had this season, like, it's, was obvious from go. We don't need to spend a ton of time on it, but it was basically like
Phaedra.
Everyone's pointing at Phaedra, and Phaedra even realizes it. And like when she has a point to talk about, like stand up for herself, she's just like, I'm just exhausted and I'm tired of fighting.
She really went out with a whimper.
Yeah, it was a bit tough. I always watch the postmortem, which is basically just like extra interviews with everybody who was either banished or murdered or whatever. And she was like, that was actually intentional. Like, I wanted to play, even though I was a traitor, I wanted to play a faithful, straightforward game. And I wasn't going to throw someone under the bus. So I just kind of just shut down. And I chose to say nothing instead of saying something that would have been dishonest or anything
and
like that.
And that's also where I feel like another nail in the coffin for Kate at this roundtable. Because Kate was like, she was so personal with how Phaedra played the game. You know, you're selfish or this or that.
More selfish than skillful.
Right. And I was like, why would she say that? You know, just be like, I don't know, Phaedra, like everyone seems to be on your scent. I was never on your scent, but other people convinced me. I think it's you. Just say that.
Right.
Like, she made it so personal that I was like, it looks like you're working together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And honestly, when Sandra clocked her, I was like, okay, so
it's done.
The faithfuls are winning this game.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
And that's how we ended the episode. It was the last scene is literally Sandra being like, wow, that was a weird comment from Kate, wasn't it? Maybe she's a traitor. Bum, bum, bum. And then we're out.
Right. And I did think it was a weird comment.
Oh, I did write down about the round table that with John not there, there really was less talking.
Right. Got out of business pretty quick. And another moment that I thought was absolutely heartwarming was even though everyone voted for Phaedra, CT with literal like tears shining in his eyes. You know, you're the best traitor we've seen. And I don't think this is who you are personally. And like, you're a lovely person. Like, just fuck.
I love that relationship.
Too. Holy shit. Like,
I mean,
on.
I would kill for that spinoff. Like, I would really kill. I think watching CT for 20 to 25 years, you know, since we were basically young teens to now we're in our mid 30s, watching him and his just how he used to be to watching him now. He's like a father, brother, son, friend, all rolled into one, and watching him kind of just interact with everyone. And just, he seemed to be like Mr. Congeniality. I feel like everyone really liked him in the house. He's not a prick. Everyone was just like, you're fucking awesome, dude.
He was not punching people in the face.
Right.
Getting
or cursing
out of-
them. You know, he was like sweet. He did everything with like a wink and a nod. It was nice to see.
So that brings us to the finale, episode 11, One Final Hurdle. First thing I clocked, Brandy, it starts with a version of the song. The lyrics have been changed once again. The lyrics, Darren, I'm obsessed with the music in this show and how absolutely obvious and spot on and campy the lyrics of all these intense songs are. So this one starts, oh, you took me for a fool, but the tables turned somehow and the power's in my hands now. That's how the song starts. It's great.
I just have to say, like, when I started this episode, I was like, genuinely sad that this was the end. I was oh, this is the last episode. I looked forward to this on Thursdays.
Yeah. I need to give some context too. I had suboptimal, less than ideal watching conditions for this finale. So I'm literally on a trip right now.
You're on a plane, right?
About to be. So I'm in London right now and visiting some friends, and my flight out was at 11 p.m. So I get to the airport through security. I get there a little bit early so I can be seated on a bar stool right at 9. And that's exactly, I got there right at 9, but I'm like watching on my phone, surrounded by people and like this fucking airport. Couldn't care less. I was as emotive as I normally would. And there's some moments when they come up, I'll tell you kind of how that was. But an interesting atmosphere to watch this finale of The Traitors.
I actually thought this was a great season of Traitors up until about episode 7 or 8.
Oh.
I was just, and I look forward to it every Thursday and I wanted to watch it, but I just kind of found myself, so I had watched episode, how many regular episodes were there? 11 plus the reunion, or is it 10?
11 plus
reunion.
Reunion.
11 plus reunion. Yeah.
Okay, so by the time I went to the reunion, I had watched 10, but I had not seen the finale. So I got it spoiled at the finale. So obviously when I went back to watch 11, I wanted to see how it all played out, but I was like, because I had talked to Dan Brandy like a day after the Traitors room, we were talking about something else. And I was like, what do you think happens? He's like, I don't want to say because your face is going to give it away. And I was like, just say it. I won't say anything.
By the way, called it beat for beat, right?
Yeah, you pretty much called it beat for beat. I didn't say anything. I kept it mum.
Well, what I pitched you, and again, spoilers, and we'll talk about this in detail, but I said I knew Kay was going to go because Sandra's on to her. And if that happens, I think, because everyone was like, it's such a shocking, surprising finale. That signaled to me, okay, Kate's not going to win because that wouldn't be shocking or surprising. We've seen Traitors win before. So that can't be it. So Kate's going to get ousted. The shocking, surprising thing is going to be Faithful's turning on each other. And we'll get to it, but that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So, I
just felt like the first 7, 8 episodes, it was kind of like the challenge. Like, eventually when you realized Emmanuel was going to win, I was just like, ugh, I don't care. Like, I don't care. And I think for me here, it was Traitors last season kept me up until the very last moment of being like, oh my God, Sri has this in the bag. And I just felt like no one really had it in the bag. I felt Phaedra had it in the bag up until when Dan threw her name out. If Dan had never thrown her name out, she would have won the whole show.
See, but I like a show better when I don't know that someone has it in a bag. I liked the uncertainty of these final few episodes, actually. I thought that was really compelling.
All I wanted from these final few episodes was for Trishelle to be murdered. The amount of times I have written out on my notes in all caps, shut the fuck up, Trishelle. Guys.
I mean, I will say that was a big move that Kate should have done. She should have.
That. Why didn't she kill
Trishelle over John?
I still can't believe she didn't.
They made a lot of mistakes, though, like that. You know, I think people were.
Trishelle called it out, too. Like, she was on Tamara's podcast and was like, she fucked up. Like, Kate should have murdered me. They should have murdered me way sooner. Like, what were they thinking?
Well, yeah, or like throw someone off your set and like just get rid of MJ. And I hate to say it because MJ's a friend, but if Kate had actually murdered MJ, people would have been like, what?
Right.
Like they would have probably been on someone else's scent, you know?
Yeah.
And because Bravo wouldn't have murdered Bravo. And I think that's what they were thinking with Sheree.
Right.
But like, why didn't they fucking murder her early? They kept the smart people around until the end.
Yeah.
Which was crazy to me. A lot of poor decision making.
And this is where we are in the episode. Kate's in the turret. She's by herself. So Alan's in there to be a sounding board. And she's going between Trishelle, which obviously probably should have been her choice. And then to your point, Darren, Sheree was her other option to, again, kind of throw suspicion off of her because that would be someone from the Bravo group. That is, in fact, what happens the next morning at breakfast. Sheree is murdered. And then I did note this, and now it makes sense after hearing what you said, Darren. In her exit interview, she did say, and I was a little bit suspect about it at the time, but now it makes more sense. She's like, I was voted out because I've been figuring things out. And I was like,
I found that so funny. Like, what was she figuring out?
Right, exactly.
The audience itself was like, Sheree. But I do, what she's telling me is the truth, and I have to kind of believe that it was because she's so close to Phaedra, that would make a lot of sense. Yeah. That would make a lot of sense.
So Sheree's murdered. I didn't have much in my notes about this breakfast.
Stately Daddy Allen.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, with the silver fox, that blue, like, everything was a-working.
The blue was really pretty.
Yeah.
It looked really nice. He has just great style. I think season one, I was really skeptical of the way, and I think I told you guys this, I was so distracted by the way that he hosted the show. Like, I was like, why are we doing this camp thing? And now I totally get it, and I'm totally in, and I've absolutely bought in, and I love it. Yeah. I love that he's always like, once more into the breach, dear friends. Traitor. Yeah. Traitor. I'm like,
good night, my traitor.
Traitor. I'm always like, yes.
We're around the castle after breakfast, And did you guys catch this shot? Because Fergus has been not heard from in a while, but he's filing the fucking flamingo statue.
Flamingo. Yes. I just wrote, not Fergus and the flamingo.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, Fergus is still in the house? Like, yeah. I forgot about him because we hadn't seen him in like 6 episodes. I think we saw him like once at the bird call challenge, which feels like a long time ago. And then like that was it. Like, I kind of forget. And by the way, do you guys know that they don't sleep in the castle? They sleep at like a hotel. Like,
every night. Absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
Listen, I love the stylized B-roll. And I actually wrote down, I was keeping a running list of things I'll miss about Traitors. And one was the spot on music cues. And another thing is the stylized B-roll of them in their rooms. Like, Trigell in those lilac pajamas. I was like, bye.
They're always in silk pajamas, sleeping with the lights on, with the lights on, guy like this, you know, with like an eye mask. I'm like, oh, this doesn't seem comfortable.
A couple notable lines here, especially now knowing what we know how the show ended. We see, so it's the classic reality TV thing where Trigell, CT, and Sandra all seem to be aligned in getting out Kate. And we get a line that's like, I think Trigell was like, so it's going to be easy. We're 100% on the same page. This should be easy. I'm like, well, fuck. So that's not the way it's going to go. Okay, great.
Right.
But this is the crucial line. Trigell said, CT and I said we were going to take each other to the end of the game. This comes in an interview here early in the episode. And then we have CT say we have a really good chance of winning this together. Big foreshadowing now knowing what we know. I thought that was really interesting. Yes. On my second watch, I thought that was interesting. And then a fucking helicopter arrives for the final mission, which, great. Put these people in positions where they're hooting and hollering and screaming and scared for their lives. I love it. I thought it was so fun.
I love when it was more challenge-esque.
Yeah.
Me too. I like when they do like the bugs. Like, I texted MJ after that. I would have said haggis in 2 seconds. Like, you put me in there, I'd have been like, fucking haggis a million times. Like, don't even get a bug on me. Gurren, get the hell out of here. I wish that maybe I missed this, but when the helicopter came flying around, I wish Kate had been like, oh, I remember this from last year. And I wish they had flashed back to her jumping out of the helicopter in that last thing, because that was like a big thing. That was like a big feat. And I was like, they're not flashing back to last season, and they should. And maybe they don't want to spoil it. But I was like,
for new viewers,
they should mention the fact that that was like a really big struggle for her. And she should like be talking to MJ about it. And they didn't do that. And I don't like when they don't like wrap things around. Because if you remember last year, that was like, she was really, really having a hard time doing that and then accomplished it. And everyone was just so, so happy for her. I thought that would have been a nice callback, but.
Yeah, I agree. Not a ton. I mean, this challenge was fine. Again, it's the classic, make it easy enough so that they can bank 50 grand and balloon the pot back up again. So like it was, I called it like, you know how sometimes in the challenge, they'll have like a mini challenge elimination like halfway through. I called this a micro challenge. It had some of the elements of a challenge, but just the tiny most micro version of it. Like, all right, they're in wetsuits and they're trail running and they got to have a puzzle here and there, but it's pretty straightforward.
And they're abseiling. Yeah, first time ever hearing of that.
Yeah.
But sometimes that's what I think is the hardest part about some of these challenges is like they sometimes have challenges where it's like, okay, you have 12 minutes to complete this. It's like no one, even if you had CT and Bananas do the thing, like they could never complete this in that time. Or you have challenges like this where Alan's like, oh, 15 seconds left. And everything seems to take like 3.5 minutes longer than what it would. And he's like, 4. I'm like, does time not matter? Like, it either matters or it shouldn't.
I wrote, do they fudge the times on these, right?
Because
they all, like, it's just, it can't not
and
be.
That's what I don't like about it. Like, either make it really difficult and keep to the rules, or just be like, we're just going to have fun unless you're really far away. Like, just, I don't like when they're pretending that the time matters. I don't like that. Because it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
It truly doesn't. They bank $50,000 against something that they have to fix. They add $50,000 to the pot, which leaves the final grand total prize pot at $208,100. Just call it $210,000. Round up. What are we doing? Like,
Like, make it an even split. It does drive me insane. And I don't really, we all know that these people are getting paid to be there anyway.
Right.
At least the challenge does that like semi well, where like everything feels like it really matters that they need this money. You know, everything really does have stakes.
Yeah.
I hate that they do this.
So then on the way back. So this is where you guys mentioned earlier, Kate was a terrible traitor. And I largely agree, except for she had a run here where she was actually being pretty strategic, like really kind of playing both sides against each other. She's in the car with CT.
I was impressed. I was
Me too.
Kate, the chaos. Yes.
Chaos Kate was like dropping Sandra to CT, dropping CT to Sandra, like really trying to drive a wedge there. And I thought it was pretty effective. And we see at the round table, like it ends up kind of shifting their plan. Like the plan was, we're all going to vote Kate. The three of us were solid. Trishelle, CT, Sandra, we're voting Kate, we're voting Kate, we're voting Kate. Easy. Kate's like, oh, not so fast. I'm going to start right. sowing some seeds of doubt. And maybe CT's a traitor. And maybe Sandra's a traitor. And those, I feel like those ended up being the two main names at the round table for that final vote, which is interesting.
Well, and CT and Sandra are really they kept saying Dan, by the way, won Big Brother twice. He didn't win Big Brother twice. He won it once. He was in two seasons of Big Brother, but he never won Big Brother
twice. Was he close, though? Was he, like, close the second time?
He came close, but, like, he didn't win it, which, no knock on him, but Sandra actually won Survivor twice. Like, she actually won Survivor mm-hmm. twice. She's one of the best players to play. Mm-hmm. Sheree had never won, but had played four times, so she's considered one of the best players to never have won from last season. And CT, I mean, I don't need to say CT stats here. So I feel like of competitors... Yeah. In theory, CT and Sandra, I could be convinced as a fan of both of theirs that either one of those was a traitor because Probably. They're really good at games yeah. like this. So that yeah. was smart of Kate to say that and not really flip it on Trishelle. Like, I mm-hmm. think she was, that was her last Hail Mary.
And so, yeah, so going into the round table, we get...
Dan, I did think of you as the last time that we're going to follow them down into the valley.
I had to hold back tears.
Yeah.
I love it so much. But again, Trishelle's like, we have a plan. This should be easy. So I'm like, well, how is this going to get fucked up? It's certainly not going to be Kate if this is the line we're getting going into it. Alan welcomes the players with one more iconic line. I love his roundtable lines. He goes,
"Yeah,
welcome players to the great hall of gargantuan lies and grandiose bluster for the final roundtable." Yes.
What is he, John? Like, yeah, they're great.
Whoever's writing Alan's lines deserves a raise.
John is writing Alan's lines, Dan, yeah. He's the head writer and contestant.
That's incredible. So yeah, at this round table, again, Kate plays it off very well about the Phaedra of it all. And she's like, listen, I came in late. I needed to cozy up to the Bravo crew for safety. And what I always suspected Phaedra, like, plays it off. And then MJ brings up Sandra, and then everyone's going at Sandra. And I thought Sandra did a pretty good job of defending herself.
I thought Sandra was very convincing. I was like, when she finished talking, I was like, oh, I think that they are going to go to Kate. How could you not? Like, Sandra just, I'm convinced. And I know Kate's a traitor.
That's got to be the easiest time to be a faithful, is at the yes. round table, because all you can do is be truthful. You don't have right. to really watch what you're saying. Now, people are going to go up on that, but Sandra was just like, if you do this, you're going to feel sorely disappointed. Mm-hmm. I think that's like kind of your best bet, you know, and that's where the faithfuls can kind of take back power, is at the round table, because they have the advantage of getting to be honest.
Yeah.
Which is a really, really good advantage in that one moment.
Yeah.
You know?
And also too, and Sandra really shows again, like her gameplay. So like we get to the vote, Sandra votes for Kate and just has her dead to rights. She's like, you came in as a faithful. You were recruited by Phaedra. You've been sowing seeds of doubt in my group. Like, you're setting me up. Like, everything she says is so 100% right. Unfortunately, it's not enough for everybody else. And as it goes around, Kate votes for Sandra. MJ votes for Sandra and says, if you're not a traitor, my soul will be crushed. Sandra's like, well, you're going to be fucking crushed. Just wait
right.
for it.
She's like, by the way.
Guys, I was on the edge of my seat same. For this vote.
This is me in the airport just like... like hands on my head, breathing heavily. People are looking at me like I had fucking three heads. And then the big reveal, Trishelle votes for Sandra. CT votes for Sandra. And I yelled right at that airport bar. I'm like, no.
See, this is why I think you guys have a better opinion of this episode than I do, is because I knew who won already by the time this episode yeah. came out. So I wasn't at the edge of my seat because I was like, okay, I know Sandra's going to go at some point. I know Kate's going to go at some point. So it wasn't so edge of the seat, but there's something about Sandra having braces that just like melts my heart when she's trying to like, it's something just about adult braces. And I'm like, you're so sweet and precious. Like, I just love it so much. But I can understand not knowing, being on the edge of my seat. But I kind of got that robbed from me. So it was just a little hard for me.
It was thrilling. It was infuriating. I was, yeah.
I screamed when Sandra said she was a faithful, y'all. Yeah. And I knew she was a faithful.
You're like, oh, shit. I knew that.
But also, like, and she was just so open. Like, yeah, she's a gamer. But she's like, yo, I'm heartbroken. this sucks. Like, yeah. What the hell?
By the way, can we talk about when Frasier was voted out and she was like, I am a faithful. And everyone was like, wait,
traitor.
Like, yeah. I was like, Phaedra, you can't actually lie on this. And then she was like, traitor. And I was like, oh, yeah. Good for you.
I don't know if you noticed. I feel like production didn't love that, but they had to show
they
up because in every subsequent spot, they trim that out and they cut cameras. So she just says, I'm the most fabulous traitor instead of the most fabulous faithful traitor, which is what she actually said.
They did not like it. But I was like, good on you, Feifei. Yeah. Give them a one last jolt to the heart.
Yes. So now at this point, we're approaching the end game and Alan gives the rules and they are these. The game is in the hands of the final four now. It's Kate, MJ, Trishel, and CT. They will go to the Fire of Truth. Needs a better name.
Not a great name. Not a great name. You know, yeah. Like
what is that?
Even if you just say like, we're going to go to fire, because even in Survivor, you know, that's a challenge that they have to do at the end. Like when they decide who that third person is, it's like, we're throwing stones, something like
make it more like call
maybe
the
just circle of truth,
a circle of truth,
circle of truth. It includes fire.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you can,
because then you can maybe change it if you don't want fire next time. Maybe you want something different.
Right.
Right.
But we're like, yeah, call it the Inferno. Call it the Gauntlet. Call it, you know, like,
the Presidio. Wasn't that one?
The Presidio was one. We're all like, just taking challenge terms. Yeah. They've got it. You know, just
the arena, something.
The arena. Yeah, just take it. Right.
And then a couple lines we get going in. Kate is really feeling herself. She's like, yo, I got this. I can convince them that Alan's a traitor if I wanted to. She's like, really.
At that point, I was like, there's no way Kate's getting out of this.
No fucking way.
I will say, I talked to her also at the reunion, and she said at this moment, because I asked her about it, she was like, I was actually feeling really bad because I came in late if I had won the whole thing. She's like, I just felt really odd about it. Now, whether or not she wouldn't have taken the money, I don't know. But she did say that she was having a hard time in her mind because she had come in late. She felt like she had an advantage the whole time, and she played the game before, that it just didn't feel right to her. So I think she was secretly a little happy maybe she didn't win too.
Okay.
She did bring her child into it. And I feel like that's what I was like, you know what? We are in reality TV now, y'all. Kate done brought up, she's doing this for her kids. Yes.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
But then, by the way, and again, like touching on reunion stuff as we go, but then she's like, was it harder or easier this time? She's like, it was easier. I needed a vacation for my 4-month-old. And it was nice. I'm like, whoa, okay.
But so I was also just like, you left a 4-month-old?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Let's see. CT going in is like, let's stick to the plan. I only trust Trishel. Trishel is like, we had a plan and CT changed it. If he's been playing me this whole time, I will never recover. Like, again, really shows it like, oh, there was a clear bond and understanding there that we probably didn't see all of throughout the season.
They none of them were 100% sure.
No.
You know, like CT and Trishel were the closest bond, but you could tell in this last thing that you're like,
except for MJ.
Right.
MJ was 100%. She's like, I trust everybody. And
MJ just wanted to like be invited. You know what I mean? When she's in that room and Kevin and Peter are like, MJ, could you give us a minute? And that meme of Trishel just sitting there, like standing there defeated in her outfit. I was like,
and that terrible,
MJ.
Terrible outfit.
Although also Kate's line, a bit foreshadowing here, weirdly. She's like, I will lie to take home this cash and I hope somebody cries. I'm like, well, somebody does end up crying. Not because of you, though. We get to the Fire of Truth. And so this is how it works. You kind of have like this little sandbag that will burn a color when thrown into the fire. And everyone, if you want to end the game, you throw it in and it burns green. If you want to banish again, you throw it in and it turns red. So the first round one. Oh, and the game only ends when everyone agrees to end the game or there's only two players left.
Don't you think it would be nice if they threw in their own things? Why is Alan throwing in it? They're just a waste of time.
I know, like, I thought it was going to be, because Alan was throwing in it, I was like, oh, so we're not going to know
who.
That's what I thought. And then he's like, okay, Trishel's up first. I was like, then she should throw it.
Just let her throw it in. Yeah.
Why are we collecting it so you can do it? It was like, just have them throw it so that way they can give their impassioned speech and then do it at that time.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. I'm glad we all thought that.
Yeah.
I'm collecting notes and I'm going to give them to the producers. I'm like, here's what we thought.
All I have is notes. Show me the rule book, you coward. Show us the rules.
Yeah.
My first note is that Kate just made so many mistakes. Like, what was she thinking?
Huge mistake here. She votes to end the game, even though someone was murdered the night before. She votes to end the game because she thinks everyone there is a faithful. I'm like, well, I don't know if she had any other choice, but like, good on you for trying.
No,
I guess.
What she should have done was thrown red, and she should have voted for CT. Like that's what you should have done.
Yes, you're probably right. You're probably
the girl
right.
should have the girl. It would have been a hard convince for Trishelle, but Kate had the number with MJ. So all she needed to do, all that needed to happen really was like hope that CT and Trishelle didn't do it for the same person. So it didn't end up in a tie. If Trishelle and CT had voted for different people, then MJ and Kate would have voted for CT.
And then Trishelle
would have been done. Like,
and then it's down to two and Kate would have won. You're right. So they banish again. Everyone votes for Kate and she's banished and she reveals she's a traitor. And then I look at the runtime. I'm like, fuck, there's still 15 minutes left. And they just banish Kate. Something's going to go sideways. And I can't wait to see what it is. So round two, MJ's like, let's end this game and start celebrating. But oh, no, no. So she votes to end. And this is what she says. If I'm wrong to love these guys, I don't want to be right. I just trust them.
Oh, MJ.
And your heart at that point, because I knew who won, I was like, oh, MJ.
And then Trishelle, hers comes in and it's banished again. And I feel bad, but I'll tell you what, the entertainment value of MJ's shocked face when both of them vote to banish again and she's just so lost, has no idea what's happening, like shook, so shook. The banishment vote, this was thrilling. So CT votes for MJ, says it's nothing personal, he only trusts Trishelle. MJ votes for Trishelle, but like went back and forth, erased several times. She says it's a Sophie's choice. And then Trishelle fucking votes for CT and I'm like,
I didn't
what
get that.
Is happening.
I wrote, wow, love Trishelle for being such a fucking idiot.
Like, I mean, Trishelle was an idiot, but in truth, if MJ had just gone the other way, that one vote, MJ and Trishelle would have won.
That's
like
it?
Regardless of what Trishelle wrote, it's just like that one, like it was like meant to be that MJ wasn't supposed to win, because if she was Sophie's choice in, she just made the wrong choice and the game would have been fucking over at that moment. It was crazy.
And I think that's why she's so salty at the reunion. Yeah. It's not because she was betrayed. It's because she fucking misplayed it. She could have won.
She's pissed at herself, I think. Yeah. And also the fact that it's got to be hard because she trusted everyone. And when you are a faithful and you're that close, like I hated Quentin from last year. I think that's what his name was, because he literally got every vote wrong. So when it was Andy, Cherie, and Quentin, I was like, yeah, I fucking hate Quentin. I don't want fucking Quentin to win. But I imagine you're just so crushed at that moment because you've sort of done everything right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a stalemate, but they have to vote somebody out. They can't reverse their decision to banish again, even though it's a stalemate. So everyone speaks their piece. CT, I think, does like the back and forth between CT and Trishelle was riveting. CT fighting for his life. He's like, listen, let's finish what we started, but for real this time. And I protected you. I gave you the shield. But Trishelle's like, but I keep thinking about when you saved John instead of me.
Oh.
And meanwhile, MJ is like, all of us in the audience, our head is just snapping back and forth between the two of them as they're talking. That was so great.
So true.
They vote again and CT votes for MJ again. MJ votes for Trishelle again. And then Trishelle says it was so hard the first time. You could tell she's been convinced. She votes for MJ to break the deadlock. MJ is banished as a faithful. It's just stunning. It was wild.
Ugh, I was so sad and I just couldn't, but like, first of all, I do feel like, Dan, what you were saying about like how, you know, is obviously foreshadowed. Like, I feel like CT going first and like saying MJ, like he was trying to tell Trishelle, like, what the fuck? Like, hello,
let's go.
I'm doing this.
Yes.
MJ.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when he had MJ on again, it's like, that's what he was trying to do. And it's like, I'm all for sneaky shit and like double crossing and like whatever, but like I cannot stand Trishelle. If it had been anybody else in that spot, I'm like, everything's fine. I love the ending. Like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. Like, great. But like, because Trishelle is in that spot, this is now for me reach Johnny Bananas Sarah infuriation.
Ugh.
Really? Ugh. It's that bad. That's,
yeah.
That's if I was actually. CT really is the reason that Trishelle won, even though Trishelle played a good game. If he had been so pissed that she wrote his name down the first round, if he had flipped it on Trishelle and been like, well, fuck you, you're going to put my name down.
That's bananas level.
CT and MJ would have won. Like, they would have won. Like, that's what's so crazy. So Trishelle should be like kind of thanking CT that he still kept with the plan.
Yeah.
Old CT, 20 years ago, CT would never have done that. That's like new CT dad status of like what he was doing. I was like, I couldn't believe he just kept with the same vote. I almost couldn't believe it. And I was like,
yeah,
like that was him keeping with the same vote was him saying, Trishel, we're going to do this.
Come on.
And right. him being let's like, finish we're what challengers. We yes. She's Bravo. It's always going to be us first.
Yeah.
He would never, if I think if all three of them were in different shows, if it had been like Ek and Sue, MJ and CT, I think that CT would have flipped on Ek and Sue and then gone home and then got the money with MJ. But I think because they had such historical context for them, their friendship, he wasn't going to flip on it, you know? But like that finale, that was actually very surprising because it could have gone three ways. I mean, MJ yeah. and CT actually had the power, not really knew. Trishel was kind of just like along for the ride.
Yeah. Although and Brandy, you know this, I'm a bit of a Trishel apologist. I enjoyed the fact that it was two challengers celebrating at the ends.
Brandy's face.
I know. Like, by the way, also just one more note on the music cues. Again, just so spot on. The final lyrics that we hear are "Trust is a cruel friend." And I'm like, are you kidding me?
It's the name of my autobiography.
Right. we talked about it already, but we get the final reveal. Are you a faithful? Are you a traitor? And I was giddy. The Trishel of it all, again, like if she went, I would have been fine. I didn't mind that she won, but I was thrilled that CT won and seeing him being so giddy, jumping up and down like a kid, like
hugging Alan.
Hugging Alan.
Kissing Alan.
The money, kissing Alan.
When he,
the face,
when he like threw his back on that gold coin thing, yes. I was like, ooh, that has got to hurt. Right. I was like, ooh, that guy definitely like broke his back because those coins were thick and like yeah. actual metal. So I was like, yeah. Oh God. Like yeah. It was sweet.
It was really sweet. And then they each win $104,050.
Listen, it actually does work out that those are the two that won because like that amount of money probably is, it's like, okay, so like this is, I can do one more job this year.
Right.
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 You know what I mean?
It's actually meaningful for them, unlike yeah. it would be for
unlike
like
Larsa Pippen.
Right. Exactly.
She would give that to Sophia for her yeah. 11.
And then, yeah, there's fireworks over the castle. CT laughing in glee and his interview just made me happy. Like, it just really warmed my heart. I love seeing him win. Again,
me too.
Didn't mind that Trishel was there. I liked the challenge of it all as a diehard. Like, it was fine for me. But I also understand where you're coming from, Brandy. Like, she was pretty annoying all season as well. I can see that. But then the last line is from Alan, which is just hilarious. He's like, and it's low. You could tell that, like, he's not trying to be picked up on the mics. He's just talking to the two of them. And he's like, come on, I could murder a drink. Did you see what I did there? And that's the end of the show. It's the end of the show. I'm like, you ended on a dad joke. I love this. This is the perfect show. It's incredible.
It was a good finale, I will say that. That
it was very
the throw bad. In the pouches. See, there's just like no good way to say it.
All right. So before we get to the reunion, let's do one final round of best favorite forever. And I think just let's open it up, whether it's these episodes, whether it's the season, just best move by anybody.
Mm.
Best move. We generally did best move by a traitor, but like without any traitors winning the game, it's kind of hard to say that they made any great moves in this last episode, I feel. So like the best move for me, I think, is CT just sticking to the game plan and just making Trishel believe that, like, listen, let's finish this the way we started it. And just really, like, I can't imagine the intensity of that final conversation before that final vote. So I think CT doing what he had to do to win Trishel back over when she was wavering had to be the best move of the episode and probably the season.
We're only doing BFF for these last two episodes or the season.
If you have something from the season that you like better, go for it. But we can also keep it to these last couple episodes as well. Whatever you feel.
I feel like the best move for me, honestly, it wasn't from this episode. And I hate him so much, even though I'm extremely attracted to him. Peter's move with the badge. Like
the shield, yeah.
With the shield, yeah. Like that was just a really great move. And that was for me when it kind of clicked, like, oh, that's how you play this game. Because I feel like I was a little confused and thinking like, they keep talking about this as a game and like how you play it. But it's like, what do you mean? Like, you're just like talking to people. Like, what do you, like, I wasn't seeing like tangible effort. And that was the first time where I was like, oh, okay. All right. Yes. Yeah. And then I immediately hated him afterwards.
I think I agree with Brandy. I think, you know, so last season they did have the shields, but they edited them all out.
Is that right?
That is right. Wow. And so I think because we didn't get to see that, you don't really understand gameplay. There's not really gameplay. You know, the only gameplay we kind of saw was Kate throwing money away because she's like, why the fuck am I earning money for these people? You know, I'm going to get banished anyway. Why the fuck am I
trying to go home?
Like, that's a good moment because she's kind of right, you know, but they did have shields last season. We didn't see it. So I agree with you that that by Peter was A, smart, and B, the only real strategy outside of having alliances that we kind of saw. In terms of just suspicion in the show, if I had to pick another moment that isn't what Brandy chose, I would say that Dan throwing Phaedra's name out was assholey, but it was actually a really good move because
that's what started it. Started the domino.
That started the domino. And if he hadn't done that, it would have been an entirely different show just based on that one comment. Entirely different.
Favorite cast member throughout the season, from start to end. Who are you most excited to see in interviews? Who are you rooting for more than anybody else? I have half a mind to say CT, but I think that's a little easy. I was like, seeing Sandra banished and how I felt when that happened made me realize how much I cared for Sandra in this game. I loved watching her. She was spot on all the time. She was so effective, so strategic. I think Sandra is the standout for me for the season. And I hope she, I don't know if she'll come back, but like, I need to see her in more TV shows. She needs to keep doing this, you know?
Can I also add a quick follow-up? I know it's BFF, but can you also say who your least favorite was, just for funsies?
Kevin. I really didn't like Kevin.
I hated Kevin. The way he ate food, I was like,
so
can we banish him?
Annoying.
And I love that Tamara was like, who, by the way, Tamara would have been such a solid player had she gone to the end because she is like chaos, chaos. But she was like, Kevin is so annoying. I hate the way he eats his food. And then again, the Foley artist just like doing the munching.
And,
like,
and also,
la, la, la.
Kevin, it's pronounced Parvati.
Yeah, just, and he's
even
like,
at the reunion,
poverty.
He still couldn't do it at the reunion with everyone.
Yeah, right. I was like, how could you get this? He's not the sharpest tool in the shed. Yeah. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. What about you guys? Favorite, least favorite players?
Oh, my favorite player was Phaedra. Yeah. I've come a long way on Phaedra because I was like pretty out on her after the bullshit she pulled on Atlanta with Candy. But Ultimate Girls Trip like kind of eased me back in, and this is now I'm like, okay, bring her back to the show. We need her. Okay, she's great. She's good now. She's sorry. and my least favorite, Peter. Like, it's a tie between Peter and Trishelle.
You hated those Peter pals. The Peter pals sucks. Peter pals largely sucks.
That was a great term, though, Peter pals. Yeah, I mean, Phaedra has always been one of my favorite people. I mean, she sends me Christmas cards every year. Like, she's just like the sweetest person. So Phaedra, it was just like, I was so happy she was back doing this. It makes me think of how different the season would have been if Johnny Bananas and Tamara had stayed, because they would have been so chaotic and so good at round tables. They're really like, Tamara's really good at that stuff. And we all know Johnny Bananas. So it was really unfortunate to see them go. I would say that my least favorite was probably Ekin Sue, just because like, I didn't really get a lot from her. She didn't say a lot. She didn't do a lot. No one really knew her. She kind of just seemed floating by. And Kevin. I mean, I couldn't stand Kevin. It was the hot people. Like, even Bergy, because he was so demure during Love Island. Like, he didn't even know how to, like, kiss a girl. That I was like, oh, my God, they can't make him a traitor. He'll ruin it. He'll ruin it for himself. He'll ruin it for himself. You know, and even trying to be honest, the guy gets so flustered. But he at least provided something for me in a way that Ekin Sue really didn't this season. And Kevin didn't at all. Kevin just happened to be the luck of the draw and being in Peter Pals.
Yeah.
But he didn't offer any. I felt like he didn't even know what the fuck was going on half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He just wanted food.
Last question before we jump to a quick little just like highlights of the reunion in case there's something we need to touch on. The moment from the season that you'll remember forever. I'm trying to go outside the finale because we just talked a lot about it, and I will think about this finale for a long time. I keep coming back to that bird challenge. I love those people running around screaming like birds. I think about that like daily. Like Sandra running through the castle. It sounds like a dog, but it's not. It just, if I'm like feeling a little bit down and I need like a little giggle, I just think about that challenge. Like it was so iconic for me.
There were funny moments in that.
Honestly, maybe it's them. I love breakfast.
Oh, sure.
And
it's the prettiest scene.
I want to be the person to decide what the order of people coming into breakfast is. Like that's the most fun job on Traitors.
Stop sending the Traitors in so early, please.
Yeah, stop doing that. Right. It is such a giveaway. I get that.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon, to that point, I almost said every single Phaedra comment at breakfast. was also an incredible moment.
Dear Lord, Phaedra was
enjoying the food. Okay?
Past the boiled eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
She loved her some boiled eggs.
She loved boiled eggs. For me, it's Phaedra reading Dandafilth.
Oh, when sure.
He mentions
that's
her.
Iconic.
You know, yeah. Phaedra reading Dandafilth is just like, that was the moment that, you know, Andy, I think, really had to touch on in the reunion where it's like, you know, I might not be good at competitions, but you don't know how to be a housewife. And I will fucking read you and even challenge people and Big Brother people. They don't know how to do that. You know, like mm-hmm. they don't know how to read somebody in a way that Bravo people really know how to read you to filth. Maybe Peppermint because she's in RuPaul, but we didn't get enough of Peppermint this season. She kind of made so many mistakes early on that it just was like she wasn't ready for this. And she was siloed. She was the only RuPaul's Drag Race. She's trans. Like there's just a lot,
well,
you know?
To bridge us into the reunion here, I'm not sure that Peppermint made many mistakes. Like she had a really good moment.
She said accidentally she was a traitor by accident. She's like, oh,
I guess, that's
you know,
right. I forgot about that. Yeah. If you were looking for, and that's the one thing to hang your hat on. But I think she made a lot of really good, important points when she was speaking at the reunion about being the only trans person there, being kind of in a silo. And it means something when you see that representation and how that, you know, that representation is handled or treated in a game like this. And the fact that she was the first one gone sends a signal that's not the best. And it's, you know, you don't love to see it. So I think that she kind of had a really nice moment that really made people think like, oh, okay, we were really wrong. And Trishelle clearly like really regrets, you know, kind of going that direction. So like I did enjoy that moment. I'm glad that Peppermint had some time to kind of like speak to it. I thought that was great. Until fucking John came in and just kind of trampled all over it. The whole reunion, I'm like, John, shut up. Dan, shut up. I could have used a lot less from both of them.
I literally, Dan, the third thing I have written down is, shut the fuck up, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Followed by, ugh, Trishelle.
Brandy, you wrote that down in your notes every single episode.
So many times.
Fun fact is, before the premiere, I had to do something for Amex where I interviewed Peppermint and Johnny Bananas. And I, by the way, Brandy, I don't know if Dan told you this, but in backstage when I'm talking to Johnny, I was like, can I ask you about this season? And I don't know if you know this, but his girlfriend Mariah had cheated on him with a current player, James, who's from the UK. And he had found out about it mid-season. And so when the champs came back, Tori was like, what the fuck are you doing, Mariah? So that was like the only juicy thing this season. But I said to him, I said, what do you think of Mariah? And he goes, who? And I was like, ooh, I love that. So that was like really fun. And before the premiere, I'm interviewing them in front of like Amex Platinum holders. And I'm like, so who were your big like alliances this season? Like, how did you get along? Not knowing that those were going to be the first two people out, you know, so they really were creative with their answers. And I was like, why can't they answer this question? I was like, why are they being so evasive? And now I'm like, oh, because they were like not even in the fucking castle for 24 hours, you know?
Some highlights. I'm just going to rip through some highlights and then we can kind of talk about them because the reunion was it was fine. It's no housewife.
Well, for me and Darren, I would love to hear what you think about this. It was just so weird for me to see my worlds collide, like to see Andy with the cards and like Darren from Los Angeles wants to know. Like,
I mean, it was basically me. Like, I was like, can I slip that in there? Like, I mean, and that's the thing. This season was good in the sense of like, I watch all the shows. I watch Big Brother. I watch Survivor. I watch Love Island. I obviously watch Housewives. I know Andy. So I felt a kinship in this season in a way that I didn't feel last season.
Yeah,
I will say.
I mean, we did learn some things from this reunion. One, Peter and Ekansu. Definitely fucking. They're dating.
Definitely.
Like, Tamara blew up the spot like, Ekansu, you were having lunch with his fucking mom. Like, you're together.
Ekansu's boobs were like, out.
Out.
She was like, hello.
They were traitoring up this fucking reunion. My God.
She was like, I might be on the back row, but they're out front.
They were faithful. Am I right?
Oh my God.
I wrote, oh Lord, not Ekansu's boobs.
Oh, sweet baby Jesus, Ekansu's boobs. Oh my God.
Oh my God. A couple bitter Bettys. Johnny fucking hates Dan. And Dan's like, but I thought you were a threat. You shouldn't take it personally. It's a compliment. And Johnny's like, no, it wasn't. Fuck you.
When Johnny was like, Dan made every wrong move in the game, I was like, good on Johnny. I was like, tell him how it is.
We mentioned this. MJ, very upset. Very bamboozled. She's like, they have grifter energy. The traitors were eliminated and the greedy people decided to make it a different game. Like, MJ, tough. And then Phaedra, also against Dan, just piece of shit.
She's like, no. Yeah,
garbage
she's like,
person.
She's
Yeah.
Oh, maybe you know, after the show, we're all good. And she's like, no. Nope. And I think for reality competitors, they realize that for them, you know, they can keep it within the game. I think for the most part, they start alliances and stuff beforehand. And obviously there's rivals, but like they kind of keep it within the game. But Housewives, it's a constant. It's constant. You know, Marcus and Larsa breaking up is part of the show. And like that actually happens and it comes back. I'm glad Andy actually mentioned that, even though we broke a little bit of our Bravo Peacock thing. Right. But, you know, it's like they don't realize that like for them, it is personal. For them, they are filming their lives. This is how we shoot.
And Andy did a great job of really kind of expressing like there's a difference in how you guys treat these games. And, you know, CT mentioned this when he apologized to MJ. Like, listen, I have been living this for 20 years. I am used to the moving and shaking in the gameplay. And this was your first real game. And the first time, it is hard not to take it personally. So like everyone kind of understood where each other was coming from, which I thought was good. What other quick things? I loved everyone imitating the Parvati face. I thought that was hilarious.
That was great.
Wait, Peter doing Alan's accent. Perfectly.
Alan's accent. Traitor. Yeah, he did it really, really, really well. Parvati had a really good attitude, by the way, this whole time. Like, I even love it when Phaedra was like, girl, you got a smile. And Parvati was like, I thought that was funny. Yeah. Like, I like that moment because I like that. They didn't take it personally. So they kept it, you know, everyone had a good attitude about
Same
it.
Same with Peter presents a rose to Phaedra, which I thought was fun.
Yes, it was sweet. You know, you can tell that they're all like friends.
Yeah.
Now.
I do think, not a huge fan of Peter. I've come around on him a little bit. He was on Johnny's podcast and I kind of liked his energy as like a real person in outside of his edit.
I did. I listened to that one.
But he also kind of talked about, one, he mentioned a couple things about like, he heard Parvati call him a bloodhound, and then a day later, Phaedra called him a bloodhound, and he's like, fuck, you guys have been calling me a bloodhound in the turret. You must both be traitors. I thought that was really astute. And then also, too, like, saying if he got the ultimatum from Phaedra instead of Kate, that Phaedra probably would have won because she could have gotten out Peter, thrown him under the bus, and then rode her way to the finish.
Which is what I figured she would do.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, I can't be coming up with a good gameplay here. Like, I'm not good at these games, but maybe I am.
Yeah. I gotta say that ultimatum I thought was so stupid, though. So you either become a traitor or leave the game. That's not an option. That's not a choice. Like, that's not a choice. Like, give me something. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you have to pick someone. Like, you have to do something. Like, you have to murder someone.
Yeah, you have to murder someone.
Then you have to murder someone, and you have to take that responsibility. Like, there was just, there's no stakes. Of course I'm going to become a traitor. Like, what? Yeah. It just was so, I hated that.
Oh my God, that would be, what an interesting new wrinkle to the game. If
I know.
They had let if like one time a faithful has murdered somebody, and all Alan says in the morning is that the murder last night wasn't done by a traitor, it was done by a faithful.
Exactly.
That's a great twist.
Everyone would have been like, what? Yeah. Everyone been like, what? That's crazy. That would have felt like a choice.
Yeah. And as much as the game is stacked for the traitors in a lot of ways, I think, and this is the last thing I'll say about the reunion, Parvati had a really good moment where Andy asks, which is harder, traitors or survivor? And she's like, traitors is actually harder if you are a traitor. I think as a faithful, probably not. But as a traitor, she's like, the deception is real. It's really hard to handle constantly, all the time. So giving faithful some of that traitor energy to give them a taste of what it feels like, I think would be a really smart twist. I would like that.
I was actually surprised she said that because in Survivor, they're starving. They're starving for like a month. And they're like, they have like bugs all over them. And they do have to deceive because they give people fake idols. They have to lie about alliances. So I was like, the breakfast at Traitors is like every reward challenge in the Survivor world combined. Yes. You know what I mean? I'm like, you're starving. Yeah. You can't make fire. And this is harder. Like, it just goes to show how the level of deceit can really affect someone. The only thing I'll say that happened kind of in the reunion that they didn't really air.
Yeah, what weren't we shown?
Honestly, it was a shorter reunion than we're used to. Housewives lasts all day. I mean, it's like a 12-hour shoot. This was really like 4 hours.
Okay.
This was not. So they actually really edited down, I think, the thing. You know, they had to do pickups. You know, they told the finalists to walk in faster. So watching them like speed in like 10 times was funny.
Oh, I did like the part though where they had everyone but the finalists watch the finale and the real-time reactions. That was cool. That was a cool little hook.
That was nice. I'm glad that they didn't see it because then you felt like you were part of it. The only thing, honestly, that they didn't put in, which I don't think they could because he couldn't talk about, is CT's divorce, which I was surprised about because when they were talking about CT and he was like, this is a new chapter in my life. And Andy's like, right, you're getting divorced, right? He's like, I can't really talk about it. And so Andy's like, oh, but you haven't been on TV in a while. You know, I thought about that. And I was like, He's been on TV.
He was on TV 2 years ago. He won back-to-backs like 2 years ago.
So it made it seem like he hasn't been on. I was like, A, he was on this last season of The Challenge as a champion just for an episode for 10 minutes, but okay, he was on it. And then I felt like he just won a year ago.
He won with Casey 2 years ago tops.
I feel like I've seen you on my TV screen. Like, what are we talking about? And so I think it was the wrong thing to allude to, but he was alluding to his divorce.
Got it. Okay.
And so I think,
interesting. Yeah. Last thing, Darren, if you have like 2 minutes, looking ahead to season three, Janelle has revealed through her, like she stays very looped in. I heard this on the Tamra podcast again, that the next season will be filming in May. So pretty quickly. So expect to see casting leaks soon if they're filming in May.
Yeah.
Who do we want to see from this season? Who do we want to see writ large in the next season of The Challenge?
Sheena from Vanderpump.
Sheena would be bad at this. She would be a really bad traitor.
She'd be such a bad traitor. I think that she would be. I just need to see, after like the villain turn that she's getting on Vanderpump right now, I need to see her in tears. So I was like, I need Sheena Shea on Traitor.
Lala might be better at the game, but Sheena was good. I think Johnny Banana should come back because he really denied it as good. I actually would like to see Tamra back just because Tamra really is good at that stuff. There's a number of housewives that I think would do really well in this. Brynn from Roni, I think, would be fucking solid. The wild card person that I obviously don't want to reward because I wouldn't want him to get paid, but I think would be really funny in the house is George Santos.
Oh my God.
Because it's like, I just think he's such a liar that to make him a faithful would be so fun. Like watching react around him, like, what a casting choice.
Yeah,
perfect.
You know? Right. That's I don't want him to get money. It's like, I won't. Like, I joked to Nadine, I was like, I'm going to propose to you through a George Santos cameo. I'm going to make him propose to you, but I don't want to give him the $400. So I don't want him to get money, but just to watch it. I mean, imagine how explosive that would be.
Darren, Winnie or Tolu from The Trust, I think would be fun. One of those two.
Oh, yeah. I would like, Winnie would be good because she was really smart.
She was the gamer.
You need gamers on this show.
What about challengers? Who would we think from The Challenge? Like Wes would be fun.
I think Laurel would be really good. Wes would be amazing at it. I think Laurel would be really good.
I think a Jordan would be interesting.
I think Jordan would be interesting. Tori wouldn't be bad. I actually think Devin would be pretty good because Devin would be really smart.
Yeah.
This is his type of game. He's super smart. He's competitive. Yeah. He's funny and kind of a jerk. Like that works well in this this environment. I'm trying to think. Joey Sasso would be good.
Joey coming back would be good.
Ed would be good
from The Challenge in The Circle.
Super smart, he's you know, smart like too. That would be good. It would be kind of fun to have the Golden Bachelor because he's older. I like having a mixture of old and young.
Who's the next John?
Right. Who's the next John? You know, I like that sort of idea. It's way too big of a name, but like I think RuPaul would be really fun to have. Just way too big of a name for something too, like this.
Yeah.
Just too massive. But I do think they need to put in more Drag Race people, maybe have like two this time from that world.
Give them a bit of an alliance to start with.
One other person. You really do. And I think Peppermint suffered from that. And I'm sure already being the first trans person on the show as well as in Drag Race already isolates you or feels like you have a chip on your shoulder. There's a lot of pressure. It would have been nice to see Jinx Monsoon with Peppermint. You know, just in their own world. That would have been fun. I think that would have been nice to see. But George Santos is like my real throwaway pick for this next season.
George Santos, if I'm doing casting on Traitor season 3, I'm not thinking about it.
He's absolutely, he has to say no, but he will get the call. Yeah. He will
get
the call.
You're having morality issues about it, but like you want to put him down on the list.
But you're like, but I make TV.
Sorry. Yeah, right. You want to put him down.
Wow. What a great season. What a great finale. This was epic. Thank you, Darren, for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
What are you up to? Where can people find you? Tell us the deets.
At Carpe Darren. Subscribe to me and John Thrasher's YouTube page for our podcast, youtube.com/@ShakenAndDisturbed. You have to put the at symbol in there, but we come out with two new episodes every week, one not murder related and one murder related. So check it out, Shaken and Disturbed, wherever you get your podcasts.
I appreciate the call outs on the NMRs. I always appreciate it.
It's you and Darren Goldberg are always like, yeah. So our friend Dan and Darren, like we always like shout you guys out.
No, I appreciate
but
it.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, check that out. And I don't want to promise it, but honestly, like we'll be back for season 3. This was way too much fun.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll be back for season 3.
I know when Alan at the end was like, oh, and I'll have you guys know that it's back for season 3. I was like, yeah,
no shit.
No, it's the number one scripted show on Peacock. Like, I think, you know, like, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Brandy and I will be back with more episodes. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this, Brandy, yet, but like we'll get more guests back in. We'll kind of go back to what we were doing. We'll do some more recent TV coverage, things like that. But this has been great. Thank you all for tuning in and joining us on our Traitor season 2 journey. And until next time, bye, friends.
Bye, friends.
Oh, my God.
What is that?
It's the fireworks over the castle. Look at that.
It worked. Great ending. Great ending.
That was amazing.
You've arrived here at the critical moment.